Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Thien Sheehy. She's a joy and happiness coach as well as an agile coach. She helps individuals and businesses find deeper joy with greater results. Thien, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Christopher. Really glad to be here.
So when I look at your profile, it's like you have like this Oprah-esque deep joy and an agile, which is like super hardcore Silicon Valley. Now, first, so our listeners know, because I'm not a tech person by any means, first, just explain what agile means so that our, let's say you're talking to a non-tech person. What does that mean, agile?
Yeah, agile is an approach to business, which is a way of thinking about, well, honestly, pivoting, which is sort of the, you know, quintessential word of 2020 with COVID. But it's a way of thinking about your business and your products, of delivering in a small incremental way so that you get your value out there and then you see how it lands. You learn from that and you adapt. That's part of it. So part of it's related to the product. A lot of it is related to the teams and how the teams are self-governing, how we're moving towards more self-actualization. We're moving towards more experimentation. We're looking for team members to be articulate, but human, humane, great communication and collaboration in the teams. And that in itself produces better products.
And can you give a specific example of an agile scenario, whether with yourself, your clients, or a company you've worked for?
I'm going to use one in the world of language learning. My husband and I are learning Portuguese. We can talk about that in a moment, through the app called Duolingo. And so the interesting thing about Duolingo is between my husband and I, we have a different user experience. Now, what I think happens behind the scenes, because I don't know the way Duolingo delivers, but my guess is they deliver small bits of functionality and they see how it lands on the users that get that bit of functionality, and then they learn and adapt from that. So that's one kind of a way we can think about software being agile, but it doesn't have to all be about software either. There are human resource teams who are adopting agile ways. There are accounting firms and auditing firms that are adapting agile ways. It's really about how you think about your service and how you think about your business and how you think about your team members.
I'm just curious, Thien, because again, you're a tech person and I'm not. So that's why when I hear these words agile, and I'm like, you know what? How is that different from 50 years ago that someone said, oh, okay, I have a product that I'm going to test and here's what I'm going to try out. And so is it really different from in the past? Because is it just some person, man or woman, that created this cool phrase called agile and then from tech. So therefore, oh, let's be more of a agile thinker. So again, do you feel that there's like a very large shift fundamentally that this agile principle conveys? Because what you've said to me, again, any great leader should ideally have this sense of agility perhaps, right? But do you feel, because again, I'm not a tech person, that's why I'm asking this question. So is it definitively different from in the past?
Well, I think there were elements of businesses and business leaders who were thinking in agile ways in the past. However, having lived through, big corporate America in the 90s and the 2000s, there was, especially in the world of software, but also in the way that we did strategic planning, there was often 3 to 5 year plans, and we were granted our IT budget at the beginning of the year. We knew exactly what products and projects we would be doing, and the project plans were laid out down to exactly what would I be doing at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, 6 months from now. And I think what happened in the world of Agile, especially in the year 2001, is a bunch of these software leaders got together and said, this isn't working and it's not going to work. It's building software is intrinsically different than building houses or airplanes. It can't be as well defined, and it's never repeatable. So we know that it's a knowledge kind of a business, and we know that end users change what they're thinking about. They see what they like and they might change their requirements. And we had this very locked in what we call waterfall process, where we didn't allow people to adapt what they wanted to do because we had a project plan that was 9 months long and by God, we were going to be done. And so the world of Agile came along and just said, hey, software's a little different. Let's think about this differently. Let's deliver in smaller increments and let's really learn and adapt what we do on a more short cycle. Let's say a 2 week cycle, we might deliver little bits, but we're planning cycle is maybe at the most 3 months and it's adapting every 4 weeks or so. So it became a much more adaptive way of planning and a different way of thinking about how to deliver software.
Interesting. So it sounds like what you're saying is really the old way, like Kodak, is done, whereas the new ways, it's the Google talks about the rapid prototyping, where you literally have to just do it because you'll always learn more by doing and creating products as opposed to just planning things out. Now, I didn't realize, so Agile has been around for almost 20 years now, is what you're saying?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow. And is it fair to say, so it started more as the tech world and software, but now a lot of people are utilizing it, as you're saying, on a more broader scope, right? So it started from that Correct. Understanding of software, and now it's iterated to just having like more of a thought type process or mindset. And now I want to kind of pivot to what you do, frankly, because again, joy and happiness in Agile, I just see is quite different, right? So tell us what you do with your clients and how you hope that we can all be your clients. And what do you hope that you help your clients with relative to you being a joy and happiness coach?
Right. So what I have found even in my own life is when I got to my, let's say, mid-career, that things weren't working out according to plan. And, you know, I had a life plan when I started in my 20s. And, you know, I got to my 40s and it wasn't playing out that way. So what I've tried to do here with the quest for deep joy and all of this joy happiness coaching is really to take sort of the best of the things we learn in Agile, the best of the things that we learn as leadership in leadership training or management training that happens these days, along with the things that we learn in the science of happiness and brain science and the growth mindset, and sort of mush all of these things together into where I put that together into a 3-month program, because people, you know, you think about diet coaching and you think about weightlifting and exercise and sports coaching. People need at least a certain number of weeks. Some people say 12 weeks, some people say a little more, a little less, to really change their daily practices and really change their mindset. The same happens in Agile, by the way. An Agile transformation is not a short process because it is a culture change. And so in the same way, this idea of managing your happiness intrinsically is a culture change inside yourself. You have to learn how to listen to yourself. You have to become healthy because that creates brain health and strength and flexibility. There's some skills to be learned about creative thinking and problem solving and critical thinking that allows you to blossom and grow. And there's also this idea of finding your life purpose, which is what gives you that drive and that motivation and that energy to move forward. So this is really targeted at mid-career people who are they've lost all of that. And it's a way of re-energizing that so they can take off onto whatever their new plan is.
I love that. And I know it isn't just mid-level individuals, whether you're in your 20s, 40s, 60s, especially for the younger listeners that are listening, just know, again, I'm in my 40s as well. And so when I was in my 20s, I'm like, this is going to work out. That's going to work out. And those who are older know that things in life don't always work out, whether relationships or jobs or careers. But if you have this, going back to the Agile mindset, you'll get better and find that joy. Now, Thien, the last question I had for you is, you mentioned that you moved to Portugal with your husband. What brought you to that decision relative to going back to joy? Like, there's looking at the outside, I don't even know what sea is there. Like, what brings you joy when you're in Portugal?
So I suppose the biggest part of joy in Portugal is really the pace of life. You know, there's a saying that some people live to work and some people work to live. And here in Portugal, life is far more about living than it is about working. And so for me, it was this quality of life, this pace of life. It was honestly partly due to the cost of living in the US, which for my husband and I was getting a bit out of hand. It was part of a drive away from materialism, sort of towards a more minimalist life, no credit cards, run on cash, smaller home, less stuff. And that comes into the quest for deep joy as well. And it's not the same for everybody. Not everybody's coming to Portugal. But the point is to really think about what things are important to you. And honestly, unlike you, I'm coming pretty close to being 60. So I really wanted to think about how was I going to have a meaningful life as I moved into the 60s, my 60s. How was I going to have a meaningful life in a place that I enjoyed at a cost I could afford without completely running out my IRAs? And how was I going to do that, and be happy, right? Not like giddy, happy, day-to-day emotional happiness, but really that purpose-driven, how was I going to have a purpose-driven life in a place that would make me smile?
Yeah, that's awesome. Literally, you just described what I hope everyone has and experiences, Dean.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Thank you for being on our podcast. How can our guests connect and stay in touch with you?
The best way to find me is on my website at greenhatcoaching.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, as you said before, and I'm also on Facebook. So, lots of ways to find me.
Great, cool. Well, though I said my last question, I have to ask, why is it called Green Hat Coaching?
You don't know. Edward de Bono has a problem-solving model from, 20, 30, 40 years ago called Six Hats Thinking. And the green hat, each way that you think about solving a problem has a color. And the green hat is the hat all about creativity.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for sharing your creativity with us today, Thea, and have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot, Christopher. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.